The first reading this morning is taken from Job chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, and then this is quickly followed by chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him, because they saw how great his suffering was. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He said, "May the day of my birth perish, and the night that said, 'A boy is conceived,' that day may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine on it." The second reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And this is a cross between pages 994 and 995 in the Church Bibles. And it's headed Zacchaeus the Tax Collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Paul, do you think we could have that picture of the welcome mat up on the screen? Ta-da. You see the word welcome, but below that there's another word. I can't pronounce it, I never can. It's in an African language called Shona. I used to work with somebody from Zimbabwe, and they introduced me to this word. It means welcome, but it's bigger and better than that. It means you have arrived. And so really today we've been saying to Florence and to Theodore, amongst other things, "You've arrived." It's a lovely sense of incorporation, of being noticed. And today I want to speak a little bit about that need to notice people. That's what care begins with. And here at St. Mary's, I'm just staggered by the riches that we have here. There are 30 people who are actively involved in pastoral care at one level or another. And that's nothing to say about all the home groups and other groups that are also doing lots of care and just noticing people and caring. And then there's those individuals that haven't got a particular role or anything like that, but just show acts of kindness. I hear about it all the time. Oh, I'll take you to the hospital. That sort of stuff. Those are riches. But it's not just for 30 people on a list. Care is at the very heart of what Jesus is telling us to be as followers of Jesus. And so I thought I'd start by looking at Job. Job and the story of Job, well, we don't rush there as the first thing to look at in Scripture. And we hear about Job's comforters, and they get pretty bad press. But let's look again. There's some wonderful things here. The first thing to say is Job had three friends. Many of us would long for that. Hilary and I just arrived in Ely less than a year ago, and that sense of isolation is profound. You know, it's like first day of school all over again. And you walk into church and, yeah. And somebody says hello to you and, hey, that feels better. Somebody remembers your name the next week. That's brilliant. Job had three friends. He was richly blessed. And not only that, but these friends, when they heard about Job's discomfort, his dis-ease, they actually noticed. They heard and they responded. Over the years, I've worked in a whole lot of different situations, but a story that I've heard more than once is from people who've been recently bereaved. And they've said, oh, I was walking down the main street the other day, and so-and-so saw me, and they crossed the road. Yeah, but they crossed the road to the other side so they wouldn't have to actually meet the person who'd been bereaved. And the devastation of that. Now, this other person wasn't a bad person. They were just scared, witless. Scared of knowing what to say, what to do. Good care, in fact, the whole of following Jesus, isn't natural. It requires courage, because real care will require us to step into places where we're actually outside our comfort zone, to just be there. Let's look more at these wonderful three friends of Job. Because not only did they hear and respond, but they also journeyed and they took time. We live in a time-impoverished environment, don't we? I haven't got time for. I'm just rushing to ballet, brownies. Well, I don't go to brownies anymore, but hey, you get the idea, don't you? These men journeyed, and they spent time caring. Something else to notice is that they met together. And that meeting together before they arrived at Job was really important. This wasn't to gossip, okay? This was to care well. And caring well in the big situations needs more than one person. Years ago, when I was in some parish work, I had a phone call from out of the blue from this guy who was in a desperate state. He was suicidal. His wife had just left him. And over the next 2, 3, 4 days, I was either meeting him or he was on the phone to me for an hour or hour and a half at a time, several times a day, right the way through the day. And after a few days, I thought, I can't do this. Not because I wasn't willing to do, but in fact, I hadn't got the emotional and spiritual energy to do it on my own. And I got in another couple of couples to stand alongside me, and we shared the load. And also, the good thing about that is different personalities, different conversations. It's really positive, and you don't get that identification of one person is the carer, which is actually quite dangerous. So there's something about learning to care together that's really significant. But something to recognize is that people who need care sometimes need it quite desperately, a bit like Job. And the three friends were shocked by Job's condition. And in fact, a frequent response is just to run at that point. They were way outside their comfort zone. Have we got another picture up on the screen? Not quite, but if we could, Paul. It's quite an evocative picture, isn't it? Now, hugs isn't everybody's cup of tea at all. And you have to be really careful and ask permission. But sometimes my experience is that the person in desperate need longs to hold a hand. I remember when I was working in a Christian hospital, the difficulty of barrier nursing, where you weren't allowed to touch the person, and they desperately, desperately longed to just have some human contact. Do you recognize this? We're all different, but human contact is really important stuff when used wisely and carefully. But Job's friends were there for Job, and they sympathized, and they were present with Job. That's so important. That sense of presence can be sustaining. They hadn't said a word, but just being there was so important. You get different cultural expressions of being there for people. When we were in Ireland, funerals were an amazing event because everybody turned out. Both communities, Catholic and Protestant, they were all there together at the church. Well, actually, there was a speaker outside all the churches so that those from the other denomination could stand outside and be part of it if they didn't feel quite able to go in. But then at the end of the service, something, well, I don't know whether you'd like this or not, but it's what they did in that culture. The family would line up in the churchyard, weather permitting. So 25% of the time they... And all the congregation, all the community would file past and they'd shake hands and say, I'm sorry for your loss. And it was quite formulaic like that, but nonetheless, they were there and they were present. And I have known times when it took 2 hours for everybody to file past. That's incredible, isn't it? Now, okay, we don't do that in England, but what are the culturally appropriate ways of being with somebody and offering care? Let's not mock the cup of tea. It's really important. Notice how Job's friends sit down with Job. They don't tower over, I know it, you don't, and I'm going to give it you. They sit there, a bit like coming down to the level of a child to properly communicate with them. or the person in a wheelchair. Feels much better, doesn't it, to be at the same level. But it's also more than that. It says, I'm willing to take time. Have you ever opened the door to somebody and they've said, no, I won't come in, but... Time is a really important thing. And when we're caring, there needs to be time. And it does take time. Can we have the next slide, please? Well, I like it anyway. These sorts of things appeal to me. Deep pastoral care sometimes takes a long time. It's nothing about a quick prayer, which I sometimes think is a bit like spiritual elastoplast. Stick it over the pain, and then you walk away. Or a church that I attended for a while, where if somebody was ill or had a problem, you stuck a Bible verse over the top of it, and they ought to get better then, and if they didn't, that was their fault. Okay, I speak sometimes in cartoons, but you get the point, don't you? It takes time. And notice how much they said in that first week. They sat there in silence. That's amazingly difficult to do, isn't it? To just be with somebody. But it's when they open their mouths that, in fact, they get it so dreadfully wrong and they mess up big time. We all want to be Mr. Fix-It, don't we, or Mrs. Fix-It, to say the right thing, to get it sorted. Well, you can't do that very often. I have been involved for many years in healing ministry, and I still have an expectation that when I pray, God will heal that person, probably just then. But I'm also working with somebody still after 15 years. Time is significant. We've got to be there. And we've got to be there tomorrow and the next day as well. And then we have Job's pain. His utter, inexpressible, unimaginable pain that's multi-layered. It has physical elements. If we were to read earlier in Job, he was covered with boils. He'd lost his family, dead. Emotional pain. Spiritual pain. Where's God in this? It's okay to shout at God, by the way. He's got very, very big shoulders. It's most important that we're honest with God and not tidy up our act all the time. This is how I feel, says Job. And for many of us, we find that really tricky to take. I've presented some questions for people to muse on in the coming weeks. Discussion questions. They're down on the sheet, but also they're up on the screen here. These are abbreviated versions, so if you want the full text, you'll have to go to your sheet. But could I invite you, in the light of what we've been talking about in these last few minutes, to just get into little groups of two or three or four or five and just chat about some of these things. You know, we live in a time impoverished society. How long have you got for other people when they need it? And this is an interesting one. An Englishman's home is his castle. I think it also applies for the Welsh and the Scots and the Irish as well. But is that part of gospel? Or should homes be something very different and that we need to learn to use them in a different way? Well, you can read as well as I can, probably quite a lot better. So get into little groups and have 5 minutes just thinking about some of these things. Okay, so have you managed to sort everything out and got nice, neat answers to everything? Well, if you haven't, then that means that you will need to spend time in the next couple of weeks getting together and working at these things. These aren't optional extras. These are Kingdom of God things. We do things one way in our culture. Jesus does things very differently quite often. And we need to recognize that. The place of homes, the place of food. Look at Jesus and how much time he spent eating with people. It's really important stuff. So take some time with that. Could I have the last slide, please, Paul? The one after that. Lovely, thank you. Just to recognize that we can all see, hear, and notice. And that's the starting point for care, the starting point for normal Christian living. Caring together without gossiping. Coffee chat with the isolated rather than the person that we see every week. Sharing time, skills, resources, sharing our homes. And let's recognize that it does take courage to care, and sometimes it feels difficult. Well, on the 10th of July, Katie and I are collaborating in doing some teaching and training about care. We're calling it difficult, inverted commas, care, but it's just sort of the normal rough and tumble, really, and just to help people think their way into caring better. It's open for everybody, and there's a session at 2 o'clock and another session, a repeat of it, at 7:30 in the evening, and I'd strongly encourage you to be there. Let's pray. Lord, we don't want to care on the cheap. You cared profoundly. You took time, even with the very, very unlovely like Zacchaeus. You knew his name. You invited yourself back for tea and a sleepover with all your friends. Lord, you are amazing in your care of the isolated. May our care here be your care for each other, but also for the whole of Ely and beyond. Amen.